أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وفرقان الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We have done a lesson before this one on the explanation of the verse in Surah Rum, verse number 21. And this is just a continuation of the previous lesson that we gave on the topic of family life in Islam. This topic is something which is neglected among ourselves. We do not base our family structure or our relationships purely on the sake of the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We have a very biased relationship in our family structure, which is based mostly on the culture or traditions that we have acquired throughout the years of integrating into different cultures and taking some of the traditions and images and definitions of those cultures into our own culture. And it is important that if we are going to look into that subject, we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left us alone for us to take what we like from this culture or the other culture, or try to think of our own selves what a role of a wife should be, of a husband should be, of a brother should be, of a sister should be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the guidance from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from Imam alayhi salam, and also the summary of 124,000 prophets in the Quran. And he has clearly defined what a husband is and what a wife is and what kids are. What is a mother, what is a father, what is brothers and sisters, what is their roles, what are their definitions. So the verse translation is that from my signs it is, from وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and in, from his signs it is that he has created for you from your own selves. From your own selves, we've explained before that from the same species, أزواج and pairs, or spouses, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you can find peace and comfort inside of them, with them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and we have made between you love and mercy. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, in this system of my creation, in this system of his creation, is our signs for those people who ponder, for those people who think. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a system in which he has many different principles or rules that exist, and the system's benefit comes to his creation in many different forms. One is materialistic, one is spiritual. So in every single system that he has created, whether it be of the rain, of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, of the solar system, of the galaxies, all of the systems have two sides to it. One is the materialistic benefit to the creation, and the other is the spiritual benefit to the creation. If you look at the ayah or the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moon is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It gives us light in the darkness. It is also a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which when people look at it and look at the magnanimity of the moon and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that creation, we are uplifted in our spirituality. And especially with the moon, it has been proven, and the pictures have been taken, and we have also seen it on daily basis. Whenever the moon is full, it is more clear that the name of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is clearly marked there. And it is quite symbolic because the moon does not have anything from his own, from its own, but it is the light that the moon reflects from the sun. And if you think about Aimma al-Muslim, they are the light that reflected the light of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was reflected through them to the rest of the creations in the darkest and the darkest of times, as after the death of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is just an example to give you that every single ayah or every single sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created has a material benefit to the creation and also a spiritual as one. Just like that, the system of marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, that it is between man and a woman. It is not between a man and a different species of his creation, or a woman and a different species of his creation. It is not a man marrying a jinn, or it is not a jinn marrying a man, but it is the same species, two individuals who are the same in their soul but different in their body. So as far as marriage is concerned, it also has the materialistic benefit to the couple, and it also has the spiritual benefit to the couple, just like every other sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Since he is describing this as one of his signs, just as I mentioned that every sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is twofold. It provides the materialistic, the materialistic benefit. When I say materialistic, I mean by the three-dimensional world that we live in, with the height, width, and length, and the things that are solid and gases and liquids and all the creation that you see around you that the light can reflect and comes back. And what I mean by the spiritual is it is the existence on a different realm of existence, which is not defined by three dimensions of length, width and height, but has many different dimensions. And that though in those dimensions there are many different other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that live. And one of those creations which we are is the soul. And our soul is connected to the body in from those dimensions into these three dimensions. And our soul's attention is through our body. Basically, the body is the vehicle through which the soul sees, hears, feels the emotions, feels the pains, understands the realities of this universe, and gets its attention towards the other dimensions as well. So it is important to understand that man is not just this body, and it is not just a matter of us saying that this is who we are, but we have another side. We have our true side. Our only side is our soul, and this body of ours is just the vehicle through which the soul's attention is given to the three dimensions in which we live. So marriage, because it is a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the ultimate benefit of it is in the spirit. It is in the essence of the human being. If the marriage is taken out, if the benefit of spirit or spirituality is taken out of that system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our own free will and power of reasoning, then that system only is no different than the other system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created between animals, in which there are also pairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever I have created, I have created pairs. And that you do not know of how many of these pairs that I've created in Surah Yasin. So it would be no different than any of the other pairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It is the spiritual side, it is the spiritual benefit, it is the spiritual support in the system that makes a marriage a holy ceremony and a holy system. Without that, it is, like I said, no different than any other pairing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done in this world. So the main focus of our discussion has been last time that we talked to you has been also more dealing with the nafs of the individual, dealing with the self of the individual, that inside of our essence, as far as man and woman are concerned, they are equal, they are the same, and they are two pieces of one thing. They are a pair of one thing. The one without the other does not has a benefit. It is not complete. Just like the example that we gave was a pair of eyes. Our eyes are there. If one of it is not working or is not there, then the benefit to the face, to the look of the individual to the perception of the individual is incomplete. We'll be able to see, but only we'll be able to see through one angle and not the other. And we'll have to put a lot of effort to try to see on the other side, which side the eye is blind. So, or a pair of socks, we also gave that example. If there's one piece missing, the pair of socks is of no use. So we as individuals are made into pairs, into two pieces of one entity, of one essence. And that entity, once it becomes complete, has the potential to fly, to elevate itself to the highest levels of spirituality. And that cannot be accomplished without the ceremony or without the system of marriage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that an-nikahu min sunnati, that marriage is from my seerah, from my way of life. Faman raghaba an sunnati falaysa minni means that whoever goes away from this way of my life is not from me. Marriage is mustahab, it is recommended, but in certain conditions it becomes an obligation on the individual to go ahead and do it. So because of the importance that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has placed on marriage, especially in Islam, we see that it is, the reasoning behind it, it is that we as individuals are incomplete until we pair up with another individual who is going to make us complete, so that our nucleus, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can worship Him, and we can obey Him. And in that process, there is also the process of having kids. And having kids is not just, you know, making sure that your bloodline continues, but it is to make sure that the principles and the efforts that you two individuals have taken and learned from this life, the perfection that you have reached in this life, you can transfer the same thing in a better form into your kids. That you get another chance, that of all the mistakes that you have done and all the sins that you have committed and all that you have learned in your life, you have a second chance to learn from it and then to enhance the experience of your own kids so that they become better than you. And if everybody was to follow this particular system, we would see that humanity would become better and better with each generation. But we see that humanity is going in a downfall, is going towards in its animalistic side rather than its spiritual side, as one generation comes and the next one, as one generation goes and the next one comes. And the reason behind is that marriage's focus is towards materialistic perceptive, not the spiritual perceptive. So us as Muslims, we have to change our perception and start looking at that. The relationship, we mentioned that everybody has certain needs. There are their needs of intellect, there are needs of emotions, there are needs of their body, of physical needs. There are also the need of spirituality. So a person, a man, like I said to you before, has emotions. Like, for example, security, wants to feel secure. The best security that the man can get is through his wife. His wife is that individual can fulfill that need inside of a man of security, which is part of his emotional needs. And a woman also needs security, and the best person who can fulfill that particular need inside of a woman in her emotions is her husband. There's also the sense of belonging to someone or belonging to something. And a man can have that need fulfilled. The best person to do that is his wife. And also the wife needs that, and it is the best person is the husband. So in your intellectual needs as well, where we said that the biggest intellectual need that a human being has is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who can fulfill that need to the best of, according to the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is husband and wife together. And then, of course, the physical needs as well, which is part of marriage and it is something that we all know of. And they are there so that once those needs are taken care of, the focus of the soul can now be more focused towards the other needs that the soul has. The soul has the emotional needs, has the intellectual needs, has the spiritual needs. Because the focus of the soul is through this body, if the needs of the bodies are not taken care of, then the attention of the soul is diverted and it is engrossed in taking care of those needs and does not have the time or the focus to divert its attention towards the spiritual, intellectual, and emotional needs. So we do not our religion is not the religion where there are certain, things in Christianity where the person, a priest, would stay without a wife for the rest of their life and they will take the oath of celibacy. This is not our religion, and it is prohibited in our religion to do that. The holiness of a person is in marriage. The holiness of the person is to get married and to become complete that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him or her appear. Now, talking a little bit more on the practical side of things, we know that there is the ideal system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And the reality on the ground so far is that if you're going to live by the ideal system of Islam, you will face a lot of difficulties. Those difficulties you might face in a social structure, you might face in your own family, you might face in a country, you might face in a community. But that does not mean that because of those difficulties, we should let go of the ideal system and just face the reality and just think of something which will be acceptable to our family members, to the society, to our friends, to the country that we live in, and in the society that we live in. That is not the way of perfection. That is not the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us. We have to stand firm and implement the system of the ideal system of Islam into our lives and face those difficulties head on. And we will see that eventually the benefit is in the facing of hardships that come when you are trying to follow the system of Islam. So I understand that my brothers and sisters who are listening would say, okay, yeah, that is a wonderful thing, but you're talking about a creation who maybe has not been created yet or has to come from Mars or something, because the world that we live in, the world does not go around that way. See, if we do not put an effort, if we do not have a starting point, how are we going to achieve the destination? So for those brothers and sisters who are married, your marriage, has that marriage made you a complete person? Has that marriage fulfilled your spiritual, emotional, and intellectual needs? Has that marriage become a source for you to acquire the knowledge and the conviction, the faith, the iman, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has your spouse helped you to grow and to elevate yourself towards your angelistic side? If the answers to all of those questions are no, or are coming maybe, or inshallah, we need to start somewhere. So these are a little bit of practical things that you can do. If your husband is not waking up for Fajr prayers, it is your responsibility as a wife to make sure that you make him understand, or you provide enough information, or you explain to him in a way that that person will be motivated to get up in the morning. And you keep trying, and physically as well, in the morning you should wake him up and tell him to pray his salah, his Fajr prayers. And vice versa. If it is the husband who finds that the wife is not getting up, then it is the responsibility of the husband to make sure that he explains the motivation, the sawab, the importance of salah to his wife, and also when he wakes up, to make sure that his wife wakes up as well. If it is that he's reciting Quran, then he should also have his wife sit down and read Quran. If it's the wife who's reading Quran, she should have her husband sit down and read Quran together. If the husband does not have a beard, it is the wife's responsibility to tell her husband to have a beard. Most of the people that we talk to who do not fulfill this obligation of theirs and are committing sins every time they shave their faces and are going to be asked on the Day of Judgment, and would be in some of the traditions, is that they are going to be raised with the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, specifically one person, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him, Yazid. If they are doing that they are shaving, it is the responsibility of the wife that she should tell the husband to make sure that he keeps a beard. The people we talk to, they mostly say that the reason why they don't have a beard is because the wife does not like it. You do not have to like something for yourself. Anything that you like for yourself is very shallow. What you should do is you should like things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked this man to have a beard, then you should motivate this individual to keep a beard, and once he has a beard, you should motivate him to keep it. And on the other side, if your wife is not wearing hijab, she is committing a sin. She is going to be responsible on the Day of Judgment, where she might be hung through each strand of her hair and would have to face the enormous embarrassment in front of all of the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, and specifically in front of Bibi Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha and Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha. It is your responsibility, my brother, that you tell your wife to keep hijab, to not go out of her house without a proper attire that Islam has ordained for her. Sometimes when we talk to sisters, they say that it is our husbands who are saying that no, you should not wear hijab, you should not do this or you should not do that. Instead of being a support to each other, instead of being a helper to each other, that marriage is, there are two enemies living in the same house. They're not two husband and wife living in the same house, they're two enemies living in the same house. Because if they were not enemies of each other, they would say to each other to obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that they can be happy in this world and also in the hereafter. If there are bad habits that the husband has, it is the wife's responsibility to make sure that she tells her husband that do not have these bad habits of lying and cheating and backbiting and hurting other individuals with your tongue or hands. And the same thing as a husband has that responsibility. So far our mindset, it is husband's responsibility, go out 9 to 5, earn the livelihood, come back, give the money to the wife, let her spend it the way she wants to, and as long as the money is coming in, the wife is happy and is loving him and taking care of him, and the things are being taken care of in the household. As soon as the money is not there, the wife is upset, does not take care of the husband, complains to the husband. And on the other side, if the dishes are washed and the clothes are ironed and the kids are showered and they look nice, the husband is happy with the wife. My brothers and sisters, these are not the criteria that Islam has given. Although those things are important as well, but they are not the purpose, they might be the means. There's a difference between purpose and means. Means is the vehicle and purpose is the destination. Means has their own place and purpose has its own place. Your car is a vehicle, it is a means for you to go from one point to the other. If you were to say that my purpose is just to sit down in the car and not go anywhere, if you make the just sitting down in the car as a purpose, then you've confused what means are and what purpose is. No, car is important as well, but it is only a mean. And as long as you're using those means to achieve your purpose, then you have given the right place to what means are and what purposes are. Livelihood are means. House is a mean. Car is a mean, is a medium, is a vehicle. Money is a vehicle. It is not the purpose. So if you made making money as your purpose, you have gone astray. You have misunderstood what our means and what our purpose is. So because we have misunderstood, we are confused between what means are and what purposes are, we end up having to face the difficulties in our marriages, in our relationships. A man is not supposed to work in the house. It is the responsibility of the woman. Okay. Responsibility of a woman, according to Islam, is not to be your slave or your servant or your cook or your cleaner. If that is what your wife is, then you can easily replace her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot replace what I have made. I have made you as a pair. One without the other is incomplete. If she is just a dishwasher for you, then you can replace her with a dishwasher. If she's just a cook for you, you can replace her with another cook. She's not that. Those things are means. What she cannot replace, or what you cannot replace her with, is that part of you that needs her to complete you in your intellect, in your emotions, in your spirituality. So when you start looking at your husband differently, and when you start looking at your wife differently, and you start looking at through those eyes as two soldiers, who are fighting against their biggest enemy, which is shaitan, which is their lowly desires. And hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, they're in their battle, fighting against the lowly desires and against shaitan. And shaitan might win the battles, but it would be these two soldiers who would win the war. That is what husband and wife are. Husband is not supposed to work in the house? No, that's not true. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw one day when he came to the house of Bibi Fatma Zahra salamu alayha that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was helping her in the housework, in the cooking that she was doing. He was cleaning the dal, which is lentils. And when the Holy Prophet saw that, he said to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam that a person who helps his wife in the house would get sawab as much as the hair on his whole body that would be multiplied by many folds and would have a certain special place in heaven. And he continued it, and it is a long hadith, to the one point that he even said that that person would receive the reward of a shaheed. If that husband is helping the wife for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you see, my brothers, your male ego, which has been given to us by our fathers, and to them by their fathers, and to them by their fathers, by the culture that we acquired by living into different parts of the world, is stopping you from acquiring the reward in the hereafter. Is stopping you from becoming that person who can acquire the reward when they are at home doing these little chores that does not take too long and would give you such a massive reward on the Day of Judgment. So male and female ego is something that cultures have created, and the fight between husband and wife, it is what has been put in by the cultures. The men are from Mars and the women are from Venus, or we are two separate individuals or two different creations, or we are so different that, you know, we don't understand each other. Women think that they understand men, or men think they understand women. This is all the propaganda of Shaitan to destroy this system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called his sign. If the culture looks at husband and wife as two pieces of one whole, two pieces of one thing, that they're not in fight with each other, but they complete each other. It is not a male or female ego, but it is only one. That there is no ego, that the only ego who's supposed to have an ego is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. Life would be a different place. This world would be a different place. One last advice. Again, this is also, I'm going to listen to this myself again and again, and inshallah try my very best to become a husband which the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained in the system of Islam. And this is my advice to my brothers and to my sisters. If you want to start this, to see each other as two soldiers who are going to fight against their lowly desires and against their biggest enemy, Shaitan, whether that Shaitan happens to be inside of your soul or outside, in the form of human beings or jinn. You need to sit down and truly and from the bottom of your heart apologize to each other. Apologize for all the hardships that you've given to each other. Apologize for all the pain that you've given to each other. Apologize for all the fights that you've done over the years. And sincerely start with a clear slate, set your priorities to take care of each other's intellectual, emotional, and spiritual needs for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to provide your own experience of going towards perfection to your kids. So your product, your kids, are going to learn from you and become better than you. So that when they grow up and they are father and mother, they do the same. And this chain continues until that household is produced through which the soldiers of Imam Zaman are produced. Through which the Ansar, the friends and the followers, the Shias of Imam Zaman والسلام, are produced. And you know what? If you do that and you create this chain reaction, you will achieve the reward of all of those Ansar, those friends, followers, Shias of Imam Zaman's efforts. You will be able to achieve that sawab, that reward. That if at the end of 10 years, 15 years, 100 years, 200 years of the chain reaction that you started in your house, the friend and the Shia of Imam is Imam Sattva Islam is produced. He or she grows up and sees the Imam of their time and helps the Imam of their time and fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his enemies. It is as if you have done the same. That reward, that sawab will belong to you as well. Start thinking, expand your horizon. Don't just look at your 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of life. Expand your horizon to years of centuries, to infinity, to eternity. Then you would know that these actions that I'm asking you to do are not little actions, are not meek actions, are not useless actions, but they are worth a lot. That they are very important. That without them, you should feel that you have done something wrong. Our Aimma alayhi salam have taught us this. Our Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us this. And we need to implement this into our lives. When you see your other individual hurt or in need of something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have put mercy inside of your heart. Mercy, I told you before, that it is that emotion that comes inside of the heart of an individual when they see someone in pain or in need. To make sure that that pain goes away and that need is fulfilled. That's mercy. And love is to think for each other. A lover does not think about himself or herself, but thinks about the person he or she loves. When we say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't think about our own selves. We don't think about what we like to do, what our hearts say that we should do. We don't do that. We do what He asks us to do. We only do things for His sake. Our likes are His likes. Our dislikes are His dislikes. And those are the conditions of love. If in a marriage it is always me, I have been wronged, I did this, you should do this for me. There is no love. It is only the movement of our tongues that we do this to each other because it is a custom that we should say to each other. When you're thinking about the other individual and the other individual is thinking about you. When the wife is thinking about her husband and when her husband is thinking about her, both of your needs would be fulfilled. And that is a win-win scenario. No one loses. No one gets hurt. So inshallah, we will continue on the practical aspect of marriage, resolving disputes, having a household in which you can raise individuals who are going to be inshallah the soldiers of Imam Islam, and specifically on that inshallah tomorrow we will try to explain to you about what are the responsibilities of parents of those kids who are coming close to the age of maturity, and what are the responsibilities of those kids or teenagers who are becoming close to the age of maturity, and how to take care of them, and what these teenagers should look as a support from their fathers and their mothers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us the ability and the conviction to obey Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our apologies in the matters of the rights of people that we have not given. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put inside the hearts of other individuals that we have wronged, for them to accept our apologies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to raise the soldiers of the 12th Imam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his coming as soon as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him wherever he happens to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have him be pleased by us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to see him with our eyes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-lazina amanu wa amilu al-salihat. Wa tawasu bil-haq. Wa tawasu bil-sabr.